How Ecosystems Work. Section 1. Energy Flow in Ecosystems. Just as a car cannot run without fuel, an organism cannot survive without a constant supply of energy. Where does an organism's energy come from? The answer to this question depends on the organism, but the ultimate source of energy for almost all organisms is the sun. Life depends on the sun. Energy from the sun enters an ecosystem when a plant uses sunlight to make sugar molecules in a process called photosynthesis. During photosynthesis, plants, algae, and some bacteria capture solar energy. Solar energy drives a series of chemical reactions that require carbon dioxide and water, as shown in Figure 1. The result of photosynthesis is the production of sugar molecules, known as carbohydrates. Carbohydrates are energy-rich molecules that organisms use to carry out daily activities. As organisms consume food and use energy from carbohydrates, the energy travels from one organism to another. Plants, such as the sunflowers in Figure 2, produce carbohydrates in their leaves. When an animal eats a plant, some energy is transferred from the plant to the animal. Organisms use this energy to move, grow, and reproduce. From producers to consumers. When a rabbit eats a clover plant, the rabbit gets energy from the carbohydrates the clover plant made through photosynthesis. If a coyote eats the rabbit, some of the energy is transferred from the rabbit to the coyote. In Figure 3, the clover is the producer. A producer is an organism that makes its own food. Producers are also called autotrophs, or self-feeders. The rabbit and the coyote are consumers, organisms that get their energy by eating other organisms. Consumers are also called heterotrophs, or other feeders. In Figure 3, the clover, rabbit, and coyote get their energy from the sun. Some producers get energy directly from the sun by absorbing it through their leaves. Consumers get energy indirectly from the sun by eating producers or other consumers. An exception to the rule: deep ocean ecosystems. The bottom of the ocean off the coast of Ecuador is teeming with life. Scientists found large communities of worms, clams, crabs, mussels, and barnacles living near thermal vents in the ocean floor. These deep ocean communities exist in total darkness, where photosynthesis cannot occur. So, where do these organisms get their energy? Bacteria, such as those pictured in Figure 4, live in some of these organisms and use hydrogen sulfide to make their own food. Hydrogen sulfide is present in the hot water that escapes from the cracks in the ocean floor. Therefore, the bacteria are producers. The bacteria are eaten by the other underwater organisms and thus support a thriving ecosystem. What eats what? Table 1 below classifies organisms by the source of their energy. Consumers that eat only producers are called herbivores, or plant eaters. Rabbits are herbivores, and so are cows, sheep, deer, grasshoppers, and many other animals. Consumers, such as lions and hawks, that eat only other consumers are called carnivores, or flesh eaters. You already know that humans are consumers, but what kind of consumers are we? Because most humans eat both plants and animals, we are called omnivores, or eaters of all. Bears, pigs, and cockroaches are other examples of omnivores. Some consumers get their food by breaking down dead organisms and are called decomposers. Bacteria and fungi are examples of decomposers. The decomposers allow the nutrients in the rotting material to return to the soil, water, and air. Cellular respiration, burning the fuel. So far, you have learned how organisms get energy. But how do they use the energy they get? To understand the process, use yourself as an example. Suppose you have just eaten a large meal. The food you ate contains a lot of energy. Your body gets the energy out of the food by using the oxygen you breathe to break down the food. By breaking down the food, your body obtains the energy stored in the food. The process of breaking down food to yield energy is called cellular respiration, which occurs inside the cells of most organisms. This process is different from respiration, which is another name for breathing. During cellular respiration, cells absorb oxygen and use it to release energy from food. As you can see in Figure 6, the chemical equation for cellular respiration is essentially the reverse of the equation for photosynthesis. During cellular respiration, sugar and oxygen combine to yield carbon dioxide, water, and most importantly, energy. You use a part of the energy you obtain through cellular respiration to carry out your daily activities. Every time you walk, breathe, read a book, think, or play a sport, you use energy. The energy you obtain is also used to make more body tissues and to fight diseases so that you grow and stay healthy. Excess energy you obtain is stored as fat or sugar. All living things use cellular respiration to get the energy they need from food molecules. Even organisms that make their own food through photosynthesis use cellular respiration to obtain energy from the carbohydrates they produce. Energy transfer. Each time one organism eats another organism, a transfer of energy occurs. We can trace the transfer of energy as it travels through an ecosystem by studying food chains, food webs, and trophic levels. Food chains, food webs, and trophic levels can tell us how energy is transferred, as well as how much energy is transferred between organisms in an ecosystem. Studying the paths of energy between organisms can also tell us which organisms in an ecosystem depend on other organisms to survive. Food chains and food webs. A food chain is a sequence in which energy is transferred from one organism to the next as each organism eats another organism. Figure 7 shows a typical food chain in an ocean ecosystem. Algae are eaten by krill, which are eaten by cod. The cod are eaten by leopard seals, which are eaten by killer whales. Energy flow in an ecosystem is more complex than energy flow in a simple food chain. Ecosystems almost always contain many more species than a single food chain shows. In addition, most organisms, including humans, eat more than one kind of food. So a food web, such as the one shown in Figure 8, includes more organisms and multiple food chains linked together. A food web shows many feeding relationships that are possible in an ecosystem. Trophic levels. Each step through which energy is transferred in a food chain is known as a trophic level. In Figure 8, the algae are in the bottom trophic level. The krill are in the next level, and so on. Each time energy is transferred from one organism to another, some of the energy is lost as heat, and less energy is available to organisms at the next trophic level. Some of the energy is lost during cellular respiration. Organisms use much of the remaining energy to carry out the functions of living, such as producing new cells, regulating body temperature, and moving. About 90% of the energy at each trophic level is used in these ways. The remaining 10% of the energy becomes part of the organism's body and is stored in its molecules. This 10% that is stored is all that is available to the next trophic level when one organism consumes another organism. Energy pyramids. One way to visualize the loss of energy from one trophic level to the next trophic level is to draw an energy pyramid like the one shown in Figure 9. Each layer in the energy pyramid represents one trophic level. Producers form the base of the pyramid, the lowest trophic level, which contains the most energy. Herbivores contain less energy and make up the second level. Carnivores that feed on herbivores form the next level, and carnivores that feed on other carnivores make up the top level. organisms in the upper trophic levels store less energy than herbivores and producers. A pyramid is a good way to illustrate trophic levels, because the pyramid becomes smaller toward the top, where less energy is available. How energy loss affects an ecosystem. The decreased amount of energy at each trophic level affects the organization of an ecosystem. First, because so much energy is lost at each level, there are fewer organisms at the higher trophic levels. For example, zebras and other herbivores outnumber lions on the African savanna by about 1,000 to 1. In this example, there simply are not enough herbivores to support more carnivores. Second, the loss of energy from trophic level to trophic level limits the number of trophic levels in an ecosystem. Ecosystems rarely have more than 4 or 5 trophic levels because the ecosystem does not have enough energy left to support higher levels. For example, a lion typically needs up to 250 square kilometers of land to hunt for food. Therefore, an animal that feeds on lions would have to expend a lot of energy to harvest the small amount of energy available at the top trophic level. The organisms that do feed on organisms at the top trophic level are usually small, such as parasitic worms and fleas, that require a very small amount of energy. Well, we've reached the end of this section. Before moving on, take some time to demonstrate what you've learned by answering the review questions.